Morning. Blessings, blessings. It's so nice to be here with you. And once again, brothers and sisters together in the Lord, as we come very much to the start of a new year together in church life. Today, I want to ask you to step up, lean in, and reach out. As I was talking at the earlier service about this, it suddenly sort of flashed into my mind that game we used to have with our children called Twister. Has anyone ever played Twister? Yes, so you know what I mean. You spin the wheel, you've got to put a hand here, a foot here, and you're sort of stretching out. And I thought about my theme today: step up, lean in, reach out. And what sort of shape we have to contort ourselves into to do all those things. Last Sunday evening, I went to an induction service. The Reverend Tiva Taofalele at the Ipswich Methodist Church. And so often, when a new minister arrives to take up a new ministry, the people of the parish come and they give to the new minister symbols of ministry. And so he was given the chalice as a sign of the sacraments and taking the sacraments among people. And he was given a Bible as a sign that he would take the word of God and share it with people. And several other signs that were given to him. The thing that was a little bit different at his service, which I hadn't seen before, was that he as the minister had something to give to his congregations. So he has a congregation similar to our setup, a congregation in Epsom and a congregation in Mount Eden. And the gift that he gave to them was a miniature ship's, old sailing ship's steering wheel. Sort of a bit like that. And it was given to represent the need for direction and guidance. It was given to the elders for the people of the church. Now, when I saw that ship's wheel, it warmed my heart. And maybe some of you can make the connection with me. Because when I first came to Greyfriars and I asked God, give me a vision for the ministry in this place, God said to me, you are a ship, set sail. And I thought, when I was at that service last Sunday evening, this is sort of like a God thing, where God speaks into people's hearts about the life of a church being like a ship that sets sail, and for the Methodist church, that symbol of the steering wheel. So I really felt God was present and confirming again what it was he had said to me when I began my ministry. Does anyone here know what the doldrums are? Yes? So, particularly, I mean, it still happens, but particularly in the olden days when ships traveled by sail, they would reach a place near the equator where the weather patterns were such that sometimes there was no wind, or the very, very slightest of breeze. And the ship would, in a sense, be becalmed until a wind would start to blow. And that area was known as the doldrums, where there was not much you could do but to wait for the wind to begin to blow again. In some ways, if we are a ship set sail, then for us here in New Zealand, the summer holidays are a little bit like the doldrums. Everything seems to go quiet. People go away on their summer holidays. The busyness of Christmas comes in a rush, and then all of a sudden, we don't have church meetings. People have gone away to their holiday destinations, and it's not really until Waitangi Day that we had just last week that everyone is back. The schools are back, we're back in our workplaces, that we're about to start up into the new year as well. So in a sense, today we leave the doldrums of the quiet air of the summer holidays behind us. Can I add, sadly, we leave them behind because we all love those holiday periods. But now the year is beginning afresh, beginning anew for us. The wind is rising, the sails of the church are up, it's all hands on deck, and we are looking forward to this new year with God. Many of you will remember the story of Isaiah. Isaiah had a vision and saw God, realized that God was great and majestic, that he, Isaiah, was a sinful person. God dealt with that sin on Isaiah, and then God spoke. And God said in Isaiah's vision, "Who will I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And often at the beginning of a year, it's a bit like this. We get the sense of call from God to step up. Who will I send? There are these things to be done. Who will go? And we can have this sense in our lives of God calling to us. And Joshua, of course, challenged the people of Israel, and he said to them, "Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I'm sure as the year is starting to pick up for you, you're beginning to get this sense, church life is beginning again. How can I serve the Lord? Things are happening in the life of the church. Where can I serve and how can I fit in? A sense of call, a sense of decision. This is common in our Christian lives. It doesn't just happen at the beginning of the year after the summer holidays. It happens at different times in our lives throughout the year, but certainly it does happen now. Many of you have been stepping up for years and making a significant contribution through your time and your finances, your skills, and your wisdom as you use them in the life of our church. I have printed for you in the bulletin some of the highlights from last year. Because you stepped up last year and were involved in the life of our church, God worked through you and worked through us so that so many good things have happened. Now, over the summer holidays, many of us have been taking a well-deserved rest. But now again is that time to step up into ministry in 2019. I'm not saying this in a sense to put an extra burden on those who are already involved by asking you to take on more. I simply want to encourage you at the start of the year to continue to be faithful as you have in times past. But I wonder for some of you, if you haven't stepped up previously, maybe this year is the year to do so. Maybe in the past years you were in some way busy and there were things that were happening in your life and it just made it too hard. But that's changed. And so now you have an opportunity to find this time to step up in a new and fresh way and to serve God. Or perhaps you have been new to our church and you're not quite sure how it is that your gifts and your talents are meant to fit in. But you know, if you've been here for a year or so, then now's the time to think about it. How can God use me? What of my talents can God use? What time can I put in to the life of the church? And so I encourage you to think about that. Maybe it's time in some way or other for each of us to say to God, "Here I am. I will go. I will step up. I will take part. As for me and my house, we will be involved. We will do the things that you're calling us to." And once we've decided to step up, then we need to lean in. Once we have stepped up to lean in to God, to put our faith and our trust in God. Part of our human problem is that oftentimes we don't lean in on God as we should. There's an old adage, if you want something done right, do it. But if you try, in terms of ministry, to do it yourself, well, you'll be able to do something, but not in the way you would if you were leaning into God. Earlier this year, with family, we went to a tree climbing obstacle course, and this was really fun. So that's Melanie and her sister Abby. It may not look at it from there, but the height that they were at was, you know, probably up at the helmet height from ground level. And then the next course you go on goes up higher and higher and higher. And this was really good. At the start of this course, what they do, and you can sort of see it at the bottom of Melanie's trousers and around her waist, they put you into this harness and they strap you all up. Has anyone done this, by the way? People have been to this? Excellent. You know what I'm talking about. This is a lot of fun. If you don't like heights, it's terrifying. But for everyone else, it's a lot of fun. And they put this thing on you, and they teach you how to use the clamps and stuff that are connected to the waist, so that should you happen to slip, this thing that's around you will hold you and keep you safe. And so we did the obstacle course, and it was really fun. And at the end of the obstacle course, my favorite bit was the zip line. So you get through all these things, you get to the end, and then you hook yourself up to the zip line, and then you lean back with this thing that's around your bottom, and you step out into the void, and all of a sudden, whizz, and I was holding my hand out, whoa, this is good fun whizzing along here. You've got to trust the harness that you're in. And some ways, this is what happens when we lean into God. We've just got to trust it. Our feet may not, in a sense, be on solid ground, but we're connected. We're connected to someone who will hold us and keep us safe. And this is a part of what it is to lean in. We lean in, as it were, to God's will. We pray this prayer that Jesus taught us, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if I am honest with you, and for a moment I will be, sometimes when I pray that prayer, it's a little bit more of a wish. I sort of pray, Lord, your kingdom come, but I'm not quite sure what is going to happen as a result of that prayer. And in some ways, it can be a little bit like when Miss World is asked, what would you like? She always says, world peace. Now, you know it's not going to happen, but it's a lovely thought. And sometimes when I, perhaps when you pray the Lord's Prayer, your will be done, your kingdom come, it's for us a nice thought, but we're not really sure that it's going to happen. But what we are to do is to lean into that. Now, when someone has described walking as controlled falling. Walking is controlled falling. So we'll know what it's like when there's a little baby who's just about to learn to walk, and their little legs are getting stronger, and they're leaning up against some things. Maybe if you hold them by the hands, they'll take a little tentative step. Maybe as an auntie or an uncle or someone related, you've just stepped a little bit away from the baby, and you've put your arms out trying to entice that baby to take a step towards you. Now, as that baby learns to walk, what is it going to do? It's going to fall. It's going to fall until it learns a little bit about keeping its balance and how to control that fall by putting its leg out with its foot in the right place to be able to hold it, to fall forward a little bit more, and to be able to walk. Now, at the other end of life, sadly, sometimes our legs become weak and we find that we cannot walk as we used to. And sometimes we'll need a stick, and sometimes we may need a frame to help us to walk. Because if you don't use that when you're becoming elderly and frail, when you walk, there's a danger of falling, because walking is this controlled falling. Now, when we walk with the Lord, in a sense, it's a spiritual controlled falling, as it was falling in to God's will, falling in to God's word, falling in to God's care, and learning to be able to walk with Him. As Christians, we should give priority to God's will, and we should have a strong expectation that God's will shall be done on earth, and His kingdom shall come among us. This is what Jesus believed in, and this is what He was teaching us to expect. He would say to the people of His day, "The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is among us." And He expected His people to be empowered in such a way that they would walk out into God's will, and that God's kingdom would come in the ministries that they were involved in. We need to develop a realistic expectation that God will reveal His will and guide us by His Spirit. Paul wrote to our brothers and sisters in Corinth all those years ago, trying to explain to them about the mysteries of salvation that God had revealed to by His Spirit. And it was by God's Spirit that these things could be known. You couldn't know them if you didn't have the Spirit of God. And he just said this so wonderfully. The Spirit of God searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. So when God's Spirit comes into us, when we are saved through grace, when Christ comes to our hearts, we have an insight, a way of knowing God's will. And Paul is ever so bold at the end of that passage, and he says, we have the mind of Christ. Now I know when you leave here today, the only thing you're going to have in your minds is a picture of me on a zip line. But what I want you to do is to put that aside and just to hold on to this thought. We have the mind of Christ. And maybe if you have a few moments today, just to sit down and reflect on what that might mean. What it might mean for you and what it might mean for us as a church. This is totally amazing. And it's incredibly wonderful that God would give us a share of His thoughts and would give us His Spirit so we can begin to understand them. Now, the last book in the Bible is called Revelation. So the last book in the Bible is Revelation. But the reality is, all of the Bible is revelation. It is God speaking to us and revealing His truth to us, revealing His nature and His very self to us. So this is a part of what God likes to do, and what God wants to do is to reveal His truth into our hearts and into our lives, so that we can have His guidance and His direction. And as we lean on God and trust in Him and seek His will, He will guide us. He has done it before. And so many of you know this because it is your experience. You have prayed, you have asked God for guidance. He has given you guidance. He has led you. He has shined the light of His word upon your path. We know this, and so we can expect it. Jesus taught that the church would be established and grow. You read in the book of Acts of how the church lived out this life of living with the Spirit. You read the history of the church, you see it again. You read a Christian biography. God is active. God's will is done. God's will is unfolding. God's kingdom is coming among us. And so we can have that expectation that in the year that lies ahead, the only exception to this being if Christ should return, and pray God that he does. But we can know that as this year unfolds before us, that God will lead us and guide us and show us his will. We lean in as we seek God's will in prayer. We thought about this last week. I won't dwell on it too long. But in Jeremiah, God spoke and said to the people, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come to me and pray to me and I will listen. You see, the plans that God has for us are so closely linked to this idea of calling on God, coming to God, praying to God. And there's a wonderful few words here. I will listen. That's God's commitment to you when you pray. I will listen. It doesn't say, I will just listen to the priests. I will just listen to the ministers. I'll just listen to John. It's there. God will listen to you as you pray. And this is so wonderful. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And this is what God promises us. And also through Jeremiah, we find this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Each of us as individuals, each of us as family, in some way or other, stand at a crossroads at the beginning of the year. Now, we know this as Christians, and the rest of the world knows it because they all go about making New Year's resolutions. They're standing at the crossroads. But this is very, very real for us. Maybe you're starting a new job. Maybe you're thinking about a need to move. Maybe you're starting a new university course. Maybe something is happening in your life. You're standing at a crossroads and you can be sure that God will be with you. That when you stand there and look and ask God for the good way, God will show it to you. But also, today we are thinking about this very much, not just as individuals, but for us as a church. And as a church, we are standing at these crossroads and asking God for his guidance. So we're leaning in prayer, asking God to guide us. You know, God could do it all himself, but he's chosen to involve us. We see that right in creation. God creates Adam and Eve. And then he gets them to do stuff. And that's what God wants. He has created us for this wonderful partnership. We don't understand all of what it means, but at least it means that God wants to be with us, leading us and guiding us. And as we find faith in Christ, this becomes the journey we step out. We step out on and into. And lastly, I want to encourage you. Reach out. Reach out. Having stepped up in commitment to God, leaning by faith, prayerfully trusting in God's will, then we need to reach out. We reach out to the people around us today in the church. Each of us, human beings, with our needs, our joys, our sorrows. Each of us come here because we don't want to do this alone. We want to be here as a part of a fellowship. So we reach out to each other. But we also reach out outside of this church, to the people of our city, our community. Several times each week, I go and sit up on the bench that's just up on the road there at Mount Eden. I go up there, oftentimes I'll take my lunch, and I'll sit there and pray for the people who are passing by. Within about 10 minutes, hundreds of people have passed by in cars, in buses, on bikes. Multitudes of people, rich and poor, students and workers, people from all walks of life. There is so much activity in this community in which we live. At the induction service last weekend, I suggested to Reverend Taufalele, all he needs to do is to sit at Greenwood's corner, as I sometimes do, and you will see in a matter of minutes people, hundreds of people passing before you. And these are people who have a need. Sometimes when I think of this, my mind turns to this verse, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, some of those people I see passing by will be people of faith who already know the Lord. And so I'm just praying a blessing into their lives. But I think most of them don't know God. Most of them aren't walking with God. And yet there's such a need for them to know God and to have that sense of walking with God. For some of those people that I see, and I have now seen thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, for some of them, that's their last day on earth. And they need to make that decision. They need to know the Lord. And how are we as Greyfriars Church going to connect with them? When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. I wonder if he had Joel's verse in his mind when he was standing there with his disciples and seeing the crowds. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Have you been in a place where you've taken the time to see the crowds and have compassion on them? Maybe you've sat at the beach one day, surrounded by people. Has your mind turned to God in that situation? To pray for those people around you. You know, I invite you, find some time and go and sit on that seat. The bench up there. Just watch the people going by and pray for them. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord smile upon you. The Lord meet your needs. The Lord shine a light in your heart. The Lord open a door in your life. I'm praying all these people are whizzing by. You can pray those sorts of prayers and have compassion upon them. As Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And so we're called to get out and to do these things. The message of Jesus, so clear. Reach out, reach out, reach out. The need is there and the need is obvious. A headline from the UK was brought to my attention this past week. A sad headline. It was by some research by the Prince's Trust that does work in mental health area. And the headline said, anxiety on rise among the young in social media age. And it stated that 18% of young people in the UK do not think life is worth living. And 27% don't have a sense of purpose. Now we can flip that around and then we can say, well, 20% do think life, 80% do think life is worth living. 30% do have a sense of purpose, and that's great. But so many who don't. And I know we would need to do the research here and transpose things, but I don't think we're going to find it too different. Old and young, and everyone in between, each person has a need. And sometimes when I'm sitting on that bench and watching people going by, I'm just sort of talking to God. I don't know what's going on in their lives, Lord, but you see it. I don't know whether today's a day of joy for them or a day of sorrow. I don't know whether they're on the way to something good or something difficult. But so many people are in those situations. And we have something to offer. We have something to give to them. Reaching out can be scary, yep. We might ask, is it safe? No. Can I do it? Yes. Is it worth the risk? Yes. You know, when we do our mainly music group or our play group, we're reaching out with God's love. And people from our community with needs are coming in and we're showing them God's love in low-key, non-threatening ways. When our team go to the prison service, we're reaching out to people who need the gospel. When we have a children's holiday program, we're reaching out to kids who need to hear the gospel. When we have barbecue church tonight, we're reaching out to people who need to hear the gospel. All of these are relatively low-key, easy ways to reach out. But perhaps you want to take it a little further. Maybe you want to have a conversation with someone at one of these events. It doesn't have to be a religious conversation. And tonight at barbecue church, you might just see someone who you don't know or someone you haven't spoken to in a long time, why don't you leave that group of friends you've been sitting with, just go and talk with them for a moment and just have an everyday conversation about stuff with them and get to know them a little bit. And perhaps if it's someone on the edge of our church life or someone who hasn't been to our church life, then they might just see you as a friendly face in the church, and that will be a step up for them from what they may have experienced before. Or maybe you want to take it a little further and just, if a conversation leads that way, to say something about the life of the church. You know, we have welcome brochures, we have connect brochures down the back there. If someone's showing a bit of interest, I don't know if this really interests you, but why don't you take a look at this and you can learn a bit more about our church. I went to a safety briefing at the prison the other day. They gave me a little red wristband. So I went into the waiting area and there I saw a man who had a little red wristband. And so I went up to him and I started talking to him. Are you here for the safety briefing? Yes, he was. And we started talking about all sorts of things. Now, I wish I could say to you that at the end of my conversation, he got down on his knees, repented, and gave his life to the Lord. But that didn't happen. But what happened was a little seed was sown. Because I was able in that conversation just to ask him in a gentle and non-threatening way, do you go to a church? And he told me no. And so I started telling him a bit about our church and how we're moving from the quietness of the summer into the busyness, and things are starting to happen. And then we went for our safety briefing. Now, what that guy doesn't know is that after that, I found a quiet place and I prayed for him. And I prayed that God would take that little bit of rough conversation and use it to play on him, to play on his mind, or perhaps to take him to another Christian that day who may say something else that may just awaken something further. Because you see, Jesus can take our little crumbs of bread and fish and multiply them into a meal that may meet his need, and who knows, if it meets his need, may end up feeding his family and feeding his friends and feeding so many from those things. Just a small thing that could be added in to a conversation. Is there some ministry in our church that you could take part in? Something that you could use to reach out? Or maybe you've got a new idea for a ministry that will help us to connect with people. You know, Rachel and Malcolm have come up with this brilliant idea, and in May, they are going to run a marriage course. And this is going to help people with good marriages make their marriages better. And those who are sort of struggling in some way or other, it's going to give them some space to talk to each other. You know, back in the day, Melanie and I went through some issues in our marriage, and we went to one of these courses, and it gave us time to sit down and talk to each other and to work through some things. And perhaps some of you may go to the course, your marriage may be going really well, or there may be some, you just want some space to talk to each other. Or maybe you're having some struggles. Or maybe you know someone you could invite who could be a part of that. And so our church will reach out and touch and change people's lives. Well, that's the idea that Rachel and Malcolm have. Maybe you've got another idea. Greyfriars is a ship set sail. We are making headway. We are doing God's will. We are attentive in prayer. We are listening. We are ready to turn his direction. And you have an important part to play in this, everyone. We have an important part to play in this. And I want to encourage those who have stepped up already, who are stepping up again. Well done. Good on you. God bless you for your kindness as you minister to people through our church or other Christian organizations you're a part of. We came to 2019 with a blank page for our highlights. Now, we've already started to write in that in January, but the rest of the year ahead of us, well, that's blank. But I'm looking forward to this time next year to being able to again come before you and ask you to look at all that God has done, because so much has been achieved through God as you have stepped up. Imagine what that might record by the end of the year, fulfilling God's will, stepping up, leaning in, reaching out, to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.